Look again with me, if you would, verse 22. I want you to notice in particular, if you would, the very first statement in the verse, which concerns the virtue of kindness. He says, the desire of a man is his kindness. Many, many years ago, I preached a little mini-series here at Beacon on the subject of kindness, and I can recall that in that study, reading and searching, praying and studying over all of the texts in Scripture that I could find on this subject, I personally became greatly convicted and greatly convinced that this simple, oft-emphasized grace is a keynote in the Christian life. Ever since that day, when I read through the Bible and come across a text about kindness, as I did up in the mountains this week, or when I came across or come across acts of kindness through a walking Bible, which is another believer, or when I experience unkindness at the hand of someone, as I did this week as well, or when I myself am unkind and I'm convicted about it, I'm always reminded of all of the truths and lessons in Scripture on kindness and loving kindness, both from God's perspective and man's perspective. And it is in the process of that constant study that I've realized just how convicting, just how powerful, and how comprehensive this one little proverb is in the kingdom of God. It says, the desire of a man is his kindness. In other words, follow this, what makes a person an object of affectionate regard, what makes a man or a woman to be loved, to be spiritually desirable, if you will, is especially, it is particularly the virtue of kindness. I can tell you that it's certainly not money. It is not looks. It is not power. I preached a funeral many years ago for a very, very wealthy man. He was a multi-millionaire. And you know what? Three people showed up at his funeral and none of the three wanted to be there. You know what? He was not a kind man. And the desire of a man is not his money. The desire of man is not his wealth. I know verse 4 there says, wealth maketh many friends. Yeah, that's true, but those are the hundreds of fair-weather friends that didn't show up at that man's funeral. A lot of men and women hold positions of power. A lot of men and women hold positions of authority that could not get two of their surrogates to come willingly to their own birthday party. They may get 200 that will come, but only two come actually willing. You know why? Because the desire of a man and a woman is not their power. It is not their authority. Despots and dictators live their entire lives feared and famous and followed, but hardly ever desired. The desire, the appeal of a man is not his power. It is, the Bible says, his kindness. Now note this carefully. Because the truth in Proverbs 19:22 is not just some self-help advice on how to be popular, on how to be well-received by others. What verse 22 actually is, beloved, is a reminder to us and a reminder of why this is so. It illustrates all of the texts in the Bible. All of those truths I mentioned that I studied about in the Bible about kindness, that they all ultimately begin and end with our own Lord Jesus Christ. All of them point to heaven and the fountainhead of all that is good and all that is kind and gracious in the heart of man. I believe that this truth in this text tonight, today, will powerfully bless you if you'll listen to it. And I hope you'll listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And inasmuch, Father, as we've read and studied and listened and heard all of those wonderful texts in your word about kindness, especially yours, may we be reminded of how powerful it is that the desire of a man is his kindness. Speak to our hearts, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There are three observations this morning taken from the pages of Scripture concerning the virtue of today's text about kindness and the appeal that it has. The first observation I want you to notice, number one, concerns man's kindness toward man. You know, when I say man's kindness to man, I am referring specifically to you in this room who are Christians. I'm referring to a Christian man or a Christian woman towards another Christian man and another Christian woman. Why? Because the principle that the desire of a man is his kindness. That truth in itself is a fundamental New Testament doctrine. In other words, one of the very first things one of the initial things that the Holy Spirit and the apostles taught about the grace of God is that it transforms you into a person of kindness. And so much so that the most desirable and the most appealing thing about you as a child of God is how kind you are supposed to be. Colossians 3 and verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, beloved, as the elect of God, holy and beloved," what does he say? The very first thing that he says to put on is mercy and kindness. And the Apostle Peter gives that wonderful list of things to add to your faith after you become a Christian. The top two virtues that he concludes with are brotherly kindness and charity. I know you've heard me say, perhaps in the past, that when the Apostle Peter introduced the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentile world, when he preached his very first sermon to those who did not know who Jesus of Nazareth was, he summarized the entire earthly ministry of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 10 by stating this. He said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power, who, quote, what would you say? Here's what he said under the inspiration of the Spirit, who went about doing good. That's it, folks. Our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, was kind. And it is God's will this morning, it has always been God's will, that the same Holy Spirit-empowered kindness be found in every single child of God. Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another. He said that to the people of what? Of Ephesus, folks. Listen to me. Ephesus in the first century, kindness was an extremely rare commodity in first century Rome. It was nobody in those days was kind. It was not considered a virtue, and it would not be considered a virtue for a very long time. But one day, after Paul's third missionary journey and under the iron hand of Rome's tyranny opposition, Bible-believing Christians and the empire were so famous. Christians were so well known for their human kindness, and especially one to another. There was actually confusion among the lost in the Roman Empire as to whether or not they were called, quote, followers of Christos, the Greek word for Christ, or followers of Christos, C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S, which is the word, the Greek word for kind. In other words, the Greek words are so similar, folks, that it was easy for them to get them confused, and especially so when the name Christos seemed to fit these people so very well. They were simply the kindest people in all of the empire. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to tell you this right now without apology. Christians are still the kindest people on the face of this earth. God's blood-washed, born-again people are the kindest people in the United States of America. And I tell you why. Because the grace and power of God experienced through the new birth turns mean and unkind people into very good and kind people. Now, I know some of you out there, let me just say, I did not say religion. Not even so-called Christian religion. The truth of the matter is religion can make mean people even meaner. The meanest people in Jesus' day were the religious Pharisees. The meanest, most unkind people on the planet right now are religious fanatics. And Satan has always used false religion to obscure the reality of the new birth. And if you're here this morning and maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, please don't look at some religion or some cult or some movement or some ism and say, you know what? I know Christians that aren't kind, Pastor. I know Christians that are hypocrites. Well, of course you do by name. But don't look at some neo-Nazi skinhead who just because he burns a cross is somehow a spokesman of that cross. And that excuse, if you're here today, to reject Christ and the gospel will not stand before a holy God, because you know this is true. You know that true believers and true followers of Jesus Christ, imperfect as they are kind, and they are as kind as they can be. And let me add this morning that if you are among those who profess your faith in Jesus Christ, but you're not kind, you are not kind to the people that are around you. You're unkind to the waitress. I've never understood why anybody would be unkind to a waitress. Well, she was rude. What if she's lost? If you are unkind to the bank teller, if you are unkind to your neighbor, if you are unkind to those of a different background than you. I mentioned that the Greek word for kind is krestos. That very same, that exact same Greek word is translated in Matthew 11:30 as the word easy. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy." It's the same word as kind. In other words, the word kind carries sort of the meaning of being easy on people. You go easy on others, that's kindness. Or are you hard on others? If you're hard on them, ask God this morning to forgive you for being a poor representative and a poor ambassador of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says that servants of God, quote, approve themselves before the Father by, what would you say? Well, let me tell you what the verse says. The verse says, the servants of God approve themselves before God the Father by kindness in the Holy Ghost. That's it. Now, folks, think about that statement. Servants of God approve themselves before God the Father. How? By kindness in the Holy Ghost. Our Lord said almost the exact same thing in Luke 6 in a remarkable verse. He said, quote, "Do good and your reward shall be great. Ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind even to the unthankful." Know what he said? He said, if you want to be a child of the highest, to be known as a child of God, then be kind to others because God is kind even to the unthankful. In other words, kindness is really sort of the DNA test of a child of God. It is the one great father likeness that is supposed to be passed on to one of his children. And it is the one thing that fosters the desirableness of a man or of a woman. Man went to his rabbi and said, "Sir, my wife, she's so mean. She's so unkind. I actually think she's trying to poison me." The rabbi said, "I don't think so. I'll talk with her." The next day, the rabbi calls the man and says, "I spent 3 hours with your wife yesterday. Oy, take the poison." You know, beloved, we're not supposed to be like that. The expression, "the milk of human kindness," was uttered by Lady Macbeth because her vile heart hated the taste of man's compassion. It was Wesley who wrote, "Do all the kindness you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all of the places you can, at all times that you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Does that describe you as a Christian? Are you kind? "Well, Pastor, I come to church, I put my tie on, my jacket, I put in the tithe, I'm a good Christian." Are you kind to people when you walk out that door? Spurgeon was once asked about an epitaph on a tombstone. He said to the man who was inquiring of him, he said, "Let me tell you this. Be kind in life, and you will carve your name on hearts and not on marble." You'll be remembered for kindness. The desire of a man is his kindness. It ought to be the one virtue that people see in every child of God in this room. Beacon Baptist Church, as a body of believers, ought to be known as a place of kindness where people are kind, not just here, but where they go in the workplace, in restaurants, in the banks, everywhere. God's people are kind to others. It brings us to a second observation this morning. Not only man's kindness to man, number two, there is also God's kindness to man. I noticed earlier this week, the last verse of the previous chapter, it says in verse 24 of chapter 18, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And then that prophetic statement about our Lord, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can I ask you a question? Is there really a friend that sticketh closer than even a brother? Is there a friend of sinners whose acts of kindness exceed anything that we've ever received, even from family? You see, folks, if it is true that the desire of a man is his kindness, that means the desirableness of that person, then it ought to be true that the most attractive and beloved and desired and affectionately regarded person in this room right now is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that is the truth, because look, nobody has been kinder to you than Christ has. When we said earlier that as I read and studied these Old Testament, New Testament texts, mentioning the virtue of kindness and loving kindness, do you know what's immediately apparent if you do the same thing? If you go, just take a concordance and type in the word kind and kindness on your computer. The thing that is immediately apparent in the reading is that almost all of the kindness in the Bible, almost all of it, is directed from God to you. It is directed from God, from heaven, down to man. Ephesians 2:7 says that God shows the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. Titus 3:4 says, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Now, wait a minute. Appeared? How does kindness appear? And when did God's kindness appear on this earth? If you read that same text in the book of Titus, you find that God's kindness appeared when Jesus left heaven and took upon himself the form of human flesh. And he did so in order to die for your sins and mine. Folks, he was infinitely kind to you and me. And folks, he showed us that great kindness when we were not kind to him. It's not by accident that John wrote the words, we love him because he first loved us. The desire of a man is his kindness. We are attracted to Christ because he first loved us. The desire of a man, and there is no man more desirable, there is no one who is ever more kind than Jesus was and is to all of us in this room. And folks, this is precisely why the exact same Hebrew word in the Old Testament is translated loving kindness. It's a wonderful word, the word loving kindness. The exact same Hebrew word is often translated mercy. It's the same word because God's kindness to us is always an act of his mercy. And you know what? The good news is, as David said in Psalm 63:3, thy loving kindness, O God, is better than life. Now, wait a minute. Better than life? Why? Because, folks, life is short. Life is not certain, but the kindness of God is as sure and as eternal as God himself. And once Christ has set his kindness upon you and you have received it by faith, he's not just kind to you for a month. He's not just kind to you for a year or even your lifetime. That text back in Ephesians 2 I mentioned actually says this: God hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that or so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. In other words, when it comes to the kindness of God, folks, we haven't seen anything yet. When you come home and you smell the aroma of a roast that somebody has been cooking for you through the day, that aroma testifies to the time and the effort they have put into providing a meal. Their kindness is already being enjoyed the moment you walk in and you smell it. But that's not the end of it. Because that person intends for you to sit down and eventually enjoy the full measure of that kindness. Amen? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that every example of kindness and mercy in this life from the hand of God to you, the air that you breathe, the food that you will enjoy, the comfort that you get from the Holy Spirit of God, that kindness is just the aroma. It is the promise of the eternal, immutable, loving kindness that God has promised for his own and forever. So that it says, in the ages to come, he will really show you the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. Folks, you want kindness, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Nobody has been kinder to you than God has. And you know what I would say to many of you in this room? Perhaps stop. Stop right now with a lame excuse I'm kind of grouchy. Nobody was kind to me as a child growing up, so I'm not a kind person. Baloney. God was kind to you while you grew up. God has been kind to you every single day of your life. God has shown kindness to you consistently and constantly. And you can be kind to others. Brings us then very quickly to the third final observation this morning. Man's kindness to man. Number two was God's kindness to man. Finally, I want you to consider man's kindness to God. You see, Pastor, you telling me, man, we can be kind to God? Of course you can. And in fact, the most obvious example of that is seen right back there in verse 17, same chapter. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Can I ask you a question? Does God need a loan? Does God need your money? Does he need you to lend something? No, no, no. What it's saying is when you do this, kindness, you are showing that kindness to God. It's exactly what Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, Matthew 25. He said, if you give a single cup of water and do something kind in his name, you have done it unto him. You're being kind to God. And in that sense, kindness, beloved, is essentially an act of worship, and Christ receives it as such. The question is, are we being kind to God? One of the great stories, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, is the story of Mephibosheth. He was the crippled boy of the house of Saul. And you know that after Saul died, King David does a wonderful thing. He says, inquire. David says, seek out, if you would, in the house of my old enemy and see if there is someone that I may show kindness to. And he says in 2 Samuel chapter 9, where the word kindness is mentioned no less than four times, he says, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness unto him? But that's not what he says. He says that I may show the kindness of God unto him. Now, wait a minute, folks. The kindness of God? Not the kindness of the king, not the kindness of David. Nope. David understood that kindness emanates from God and then goes right back to God. Simple acts of kindness worships God and gives glory to God. I remember the story years ago, a very touching story, a little girl named Lisa. I was visiting with my dad and my mom. At the time, they lived in Middleburg outside Jacksonville. And my dad showed me this story in the paper. And I read it. It was about a little girl. She was a patient at Baptist Hospital there in Jacksonville. And from her hospital room, there were some construction workers putting up a skyscraper. She could see them outside her window. And one morning, Lisa took some construction paper and she wrote in big letters, "My name is Lisa. What's yours?" And she stuck it on the window. The next day, one of the workers noticed it and found some cardboard. And he wrote back, "My name is Christopher. Good to meet you." The next morning, she put up another sign, and it said, "I'm 8 years old. How old are you?" And all of the construction workers made signs, both with all of their names and all of their ages. They took the time to do that. This went back and forth for days. One day, they found out it was her birthday. They made a huge banner. They placed it outside their building, and they said, "Happy birthday, Lisa, from all of us across the way." And they had flowers sent to her room. Lisa put up a simple smiley face in the window with the words, "Yay." A couple of men noticed, after a while, that there were no more signs. From little Lisa in the window, they thought she must have been released, and they called the hospital, and they asked for the third floor, and they explained who they were and wanted to know if they could let them all know how Lisa was. About an hour later, there was a big sign put up in Lisa's room that said, "Lisa went to heaven last night. God bless you all for making her smile every day." You know, there's a little silly bumper sticker that I've seen. Practice random acts of kindness. See, that's silly, Pastor. It's silly because Christians are not called to do random acts of kindness. We are called to do specific, Spirit-led, life-changing acts of kindness all the time because we are kind people. In Nehemiah chapter 9, when the priests and the Levites were welcoming a revival in the land, the Bible says, they stood upon the stairs within the walls of the temple and they worshiped God. And then they cried out in verse 17, "Thou art a God." What would you say? In the midst of revival and the changing of the nation, great gratitude, of all the things that you would say in that moment, standing there on the wall, what would you say? They said, "Thou art a God of great kindness." The watchword of the revival was the kindness of God. Listen carefully, and I'll close. Everyday life, as you all know, presents us with everyday choices. Now, some of those choices are silly non-choices, really, sort of artificially manufactured in our prosperous society. The choice, therefore, is of little consequence. For example, Ben and I were at Publix the other day, and he needed some shaving cream, so I sent him over the aisle to go get some. An eternity later, I went over there, he's still standing there, staring at all the so-called choices. And there's shaving cream from end to end. There's normal, gel, foamy, fragrance-free. There's Tough Beard, he's reading, and there's skin conditioning and sensitive skin and menthol cool and medicated citrus, coconut, vitamin E, extra moisturizing, extra soothing, refreshing. There was one called Satin Care and another one called Beard Destroying. So he's like, do I want to destroy my beard or do I want to satin my beard? You know, in our country, we didn't have all these choices. And then you got to choose your razor. There's 1,000 of those. And then you got to choose your aftershave, 500 of those. Really, these are all new sort of insignificant choices in this society. I told Ben the best one of all, the one that says 79 cents. Amen, always. Let me remind you of a choice that is not new. And it is anything but insignificant. Every day, you have the choice to be as your Heavenly Father. The Bible says, be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know what that verse says? God was kind to you. You're a sinner. He's not. He was kind to you. Therefore, be ye kind one to another, to other sinners. After all, you're not God. You've experienced His loving kindness. Now, demonstrate that as a child of God by being kind to other people. Brother Roloff used to say, if you ain't kind, you ain't much. And whatever else you've got, degrees behind your name, even if they're theology degrees, if you're not kind, you're not much. Some of you in this room, God's been good to you and kind to you. He's given you the rain and the air to breathe, the food to eat. He's given you health. You're still alive. And He gave you His Son who died for your sins. God has been kind to you. God's will is that you receive that kindness in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, the free gift of salvation, purchased by His blood, which He died on a cross. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You say, Pastor, God has been good to me. And something in my heart is telling me that this is true, that Christ is my Savior and Lord, and I need to accept Him. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know I'd be in heaven, but I do believe that Christ is God's Son and died for my sins. He's been kind to me. I want to accept Him as my Savior. Christian, if God has spoken to your heart, look, you know who needs this message? I needed this message. I needed this truth. There's no such thing as a Christian who does too much good or is too kind to others. The scripture says that God, who is kind, it even says in that text, kind unto the thankless and the evil, it says. He's our model. Father, bless the invitation. I pray You'll draw us to Your word, to the truth of it. And Lord, where the rubber meets the road here, Father, in day-to-day actions and words that we say to people, are we like Christ or not? You've been kind to us, even to the unthankful. May we be kind. And may we do so to give glory to You and to make the faith desirable to those who are lost. For these who have asked for prayer, draw them to you now, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.